Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It appears that the NBA and the NBA Players Association have come to terms on how much they will dock players' salaries for each game they miss due to vaccine mandates. So, Kyrie, every game you miss, 1/91.6. That's of your salary, of your yearly salary, as opposed to 1/82. I don't know why that is. If you get suspended, typically when a player gets suspended, he loses 1/145th of his salary, which as opposed to
I feel like they're just making these numbers up.
I don't know. Yeah. Or 1/110 of his salary if he's suspended more than 20 games. Why is it not 1/82?
Well, we know that like players have a whole lot of power. I'm not going to say the NBA Players Association is as powerful as like MLBPA, but they still got some good power over the owners. I want to know how those negotiations started where the NBA
was like... You mean the governors?
Yeah, the governors. They're not owners.
The governors.
We don't own people around here.
We govern them.
Yes.
I want to know how those started out of, hey, we're going to fine you guys 1/4 of your salary for every single time that you miss a game. And NBAPA came back and went, no, how about 1/10,000th of the salary? Let's talk there. And they had to work their way back to, what is it, 1/96?
Well, no, but makes sense is 1/82nd of your salary. There's 82 games, so 1/82nd. But it's 1/91.6. That's how much you lose. You don't lose the whole game for whatever reason. And now, where do they come up with 91.6?
Maybe they're getting credit for preseason games?
Do they make full salary in the preseason?
I would doubt it. I don't know. I have no idea.
NFL doesn't. It doesn't start until the season starts.
But what is that?
Maybe it is. Maybe not. I don't know.
We only get like 4 preseason games, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
So that puts you at 86.
And I was going to...
I don't know. A huge fight started in my house because Mason was watching a preseason game between the Lakers and Nets, and Alex said, turn the TV on. Turn the games on. I was in my room watching the games, the football games. And it turned into a huge fight, and I made Mason. I said, I had to make an executive decision. Mason was there first. I was like, Mason, it's the second half of the 12 o'clock games. We're in the fourth quarter. Let Alec watch. You got to watch football games. I'm sorry. This is preseason basketball. If it's regular season you're watching, I'd have your back. You were at the TV first. But I'm not letting preseason basketball, that's not going to override football games in a 17-week schedule, 18-week schedule. It's just not. You have to let him. Oh, he just.
You only got 2 TVs in your
house?
And
he's a middle kid.
Go outside.
No, I had a third. It's on a computer, right?
In your room.
I have one on the patio. No, he didn't want to go on the patio. And I have one indoors. I just bought a 32-inch TV, and I use it as a computer monitor. So I said, Mason, go pull it up online. You can watch it. I don't want to watch a computer. I said, you're not. You're going to watch on a 32-inch TV. It's just a monitor. I said, the computer is just where you set the game up. It's going to play on that. The whole point was, A, he's a middle child.
That's
so immediately he's going to be pissed off that the older kid gets something. And number two,
Not as pissed off as Vic Fangio was. Vic Fangio was none too pleased with John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
It appears in the final seconds of their game, John Harbaugh ran the football as opposed to kneeling because he wanted to get the 43rd, I believe, consecutive games of 100 yards rushing. So, which is, I think, tied for the NFL record, whatever it is, 43rd, 46th, whatever the number is. But it's tied for the NFL record for most consecutive 100-yard games rushing. Well, Vic Fangio wasn't having it, but John Harbaugh came right back.
Did you have a problem with the last play that Baltimore ran?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of bullshit, but I expected it from them. You know, I've 37 years in pro ball. I've never seen anything like that, so... But it was to be expected, and we expected it.
Why did you expect it from them?
Because I just know how they operate. You know, they that's just their, you know, mode of operation there. Player safety is secondary.
I mean, I thought we were on good terms. We had a nice chat before the game. Known each other for a long time, but I promise you, I'm not going to give that insult one second thought. That's what's meaningful to us might not be meaningful to them. Their concerns are definitely not our concerns. And, you know, we didn't expect to get the ball back, you know, but I'd already decided, we decided that if we got the ball back, we were going to try to get the yards. And we got it back with 3 seconds left. So you're throwing the ball in the end zone with 10 seconds left. I don't know that there's a 16-point touchdown that's going to be possible right there. So, you know, that didn't have anything to do with winning the game. So, like I said, what's meaningful to us might not be meaningful to them, and we're not going to concern ourselves with that.
Did that kind of surprise you, though, based on the family history your family has with them?
I don't. Yeah, it doesn't. I never. I'm not thinking about it. It doesn't matter to me.
Weird thoughts on that.
Yeah, I thought. Well, he's right. You can throw the ball with 10 seconds left when you're down 16, but we can't run the ball with 3 seconds left. If you're down, you always keep playing.
But it would just been punted. You had 3 seconds. You just want to get out. Like, can you imagine if somebody had?
It wasn't punted. I think they've turned it over on.
Oh, turnover on downs. Yeah. Can you imagine if somebody had torn an ACL, if you had another running back tear an ACL on that play?
Wow, yeah, that would have been.
Can you imagine had a fourth ACL? Like, oh, just because you're trying to get 100. It's a little weak. I get it. It's a little, you know, we really need to talk to a baseball player because they're the ones who tell us about unwritten rules. We couldn't possibly know the unwritten rules of football. Only a baseball player and really a player who played in a in the 90s or 2000s would really, really know that, early 2010s. But I would think that I've never seen it. You have 3 seconds left in a game and you actually run the ball instead of the victory formation. I've never seen that before.
No, I've never seen it either.
And a coach acknowledged that getting 100 yards rushing was important to him. That's kind of funny, too. But I also think it's important to Vic Fangio because why is Vic pissed off about it? Because he wanted to hold them under 100.
Yeah.
Wanted to be the team that broke that, too. I think I don't know that that was what he was. I mean, he just got beat at home. He's obviously not happy how the game went. But I think, in a way, he would have liked to have, you know what? You know, yeah, we worked our ass off defensively. We slowed your running game down. And now you're just going to get a cheap 100 yards because you're going to run here to get it. You didn't earn that 100. We held you under 100. Why are you doing that here? It kind of works both ways, I guess. I think Vic would have like, yeah, you know what? You didn't earn your 100. Why are you trying to get it here? Maybe it's about, he talked about player safety. Maybe that's what it's about. Why run an unnecessary play? Yeah. And I get that. No other team, I think, would have run it there.
Nope. And it really isn't a great reason.
100 yard. Who cares?
I mean, you're talking about a guy in Harbaugh who likes the fact that they have the longest streak of preseason wins in NFL history.
Yeah.
Like,
things matter to him.
That he celebrated when they won that 20th game.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson.
Think about who you're talking
about.
Isn't that
crazy? He's got 20 straight preseason wins. You have Lamar Jackson, 100 yards rushing. Well, big deal. Who cares? That's not a big deal that you get to 100. That is a little weird that he would care about that. It means nothing.
A stat that, who cares?
It means nothing. What? Because it's a round number, 100? Like, who? It's meaneless.
Yep. All right, 9/11 ESPN. You know what else is meaningless? The Texans game. You know what we're going to talk about next with Sage Rosenfels? The Texans game.
How long?
What we're going to do is
we'll talk under 9 minutes.
You got to tell Sage. All right, we're going to talk about the Texans. Then we'll do the Bears game.
Let's ask him what he wants to talk about.
Yeah.
What'd you see? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about anything.
This is very hard to talk about.
You want to talk about Alabama Ole Miss? Did you watch it? We can talk about Alabama Ole Miss. By the way, I don't think that Matt Corral hurt himself in the draft. I think Matt Corral was fine.
Yeah.
I didn't see him make a bunch of mistakes.
Matt Corral could be the number one pick.
Matt Corral's going to be 1-1 if a quarterback is needed.
Yeah.
But well, listen, either, some of the bad teams.
If you don't need a quarterback, then you trade.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
At 9-11 ESPN 97.5. 713-780. No. Yeah, if you want to talk to Sage, you could call Sage too. 713-780-3776.
Carsforkids.org. So you guys have been doing a great job. Just got a message from someone here at the station that you guys have been phenomenal at having Cars for Kids come out. But this is the thing that I want to tell you. Listen, I'm going to say it really bluntly. If you have a piece of junk at your house, a car or a motorcycle or a truck, and it's not even running. I mean, it's like, God, what are we going to do to get rid of this thing? Carsforkids.org. It's that simple. Let them write that vehicle off for you. They will give you a tax write-off. You can have someone come haul the trash off of your property. And when I say trash, I mean that non-running truck, car, SUV, motorcycle, whatever it is. And they will give you not only a $50 gift card from Visa, but they're also going to give you a tax write-off. And so you're going to have a tax write-off just for them coming and hauling off your junk, that vehicle that doesn't work anymore. What a great offer for you. And they're doing it in conjunction with Houston Can Academy. So you're doing something nice for someone else when in reality you're just having some junk removed from your property. Carsforkids.org. That's the website. Go there. Start the process. Right off the car and not the kid. Carsforkids.org.
G'day, mates. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats.
You're locked into the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now to look back at this past weekend's NFL action with former Texans QB Sage Rosenfels. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
As the man told you, Sage Rosenfels joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, as he does every week. Sage, what's up?
I'm looking for a pay raise. That's what's up.
I don't blame you. Hazard pay.
Oh, my gosh. How awful. And you, did you actually go back and study that?
You didn't do that.
Listen, I do take my job seriously. And, of course, you watch it the first time, just like you guys. And then I do go back and rewatch them and you try to find the details. And you press rewind occasionally to see even more detail of what happened or what could have happened and why it happened. And it's not fun. I've been through this situation a few times before in my career. I mean, there's definitely games, whether it's college or even pros, where you have a game like this. And it is, one thing Garrett Kubiak one time said to me is it's never as bad as you think, and it's usually never as good as you think when you win and you play well. A lot of times there's still a lot of things to clean up even in the wins, and it was that. It was everything that you imagine a 40-0 loss is. And but you do see these little small good things. I do love the way Davis Mills just kept competing and kept trying, and he wants to push the ball down the field, and even though it's the defense is going to play deep and he's going to push the ball into coverage, but I love the fact that he's still trying to go out there and trying to score points, and guys are still fighting. I actually, of course, appreciate the way the defense played in this game. If you see 40 points, you think the defense must have played terrible. We all know they actually, for the most part, did a lot of good things out there. You can't turn the ball over five times, a lot of those, and in plus range and allow the short fields for the other team, especially a team like the Buffalo Bills. And so despite the fact it was a sort of a disaster, I'm also looking for some good things out there. And I do like the way this young quarterback fights and competes. And I know his stats, 11 to 21 for 80 yards or whatever it is nothing to write home about, but he was out there, he was competing, he was doing his best, guys kept trying to play. But, overall, obviously, this team is, you got your measuring stick here, right? Week one, Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the worst teams in the NFL. Texans get a nice win, and then then you play one of the best teams in the NFL in Buffalo in absolutely horrible conditions, and you sort of see where you're at, and obviously the Texans have a ways to go.
There's nothing really good to take out of the game, Sage, and I know you watched. I almost want to just ask you specific questions, but one specific question I want to ask you is, did you think the Texans did what they could? clearly Buffalo had their ears pinned back defensively, and they were just in attack mode with all those mixer fronts where they were standing up and not letting the offensive line get a good feel for who was coming. I kind of felt like the Texans should have just got the ball, should have really relied more on quick game, because they were not going to be able to protect. And Davis Mills, at some point you could tell, was not going to be making throws to open players. I thought quick game would have been at least a little something to maybe get them into a rhythm.
Well, it's always nice to get the ball out when you have a defensive line that is attacking. You have linebackers that are blitzing or not blitzing. You're not really sure who's coming, who's not coming. It is nice to get the ball out. But when you do that, your receivers have to get separation quickly. And that is not always an easy thing to do, to get away from people, you know, within a second of the ball being snapped. And, you know, Buffalo's an excellent defense. McDermott does a great job. In particular, he's always been a secondary guy with his cornerbacks, not allowing receivers to get that type of separation, especially early on. And you know, the longer you can hold on to the ball, the more receivers have time as they work their way down the field to get that separation. So there's this balance there. And on top of it, and I agree with you, by the way, I'm a sort of a get the ball out, especially in those types of conditions, get the ball to those receivers or the tight ends or back as quickly as possible, get it in their hands. Because the longer you hold on to the ball, especially that type of defensive line that Buffalo has, you end up creating some stresses along your offensive line. And we saw those holding penalties. And I don't know how many there were. I'd have to go back and count. But, you know, first and 20s, first and 25s. You put a quarterback in first and 20 in Buffalo in the rain, and he's a rookie, and you're asking for a 40-0 shutout.
Yeah. He doesn't put it delicately, but we've got a listener. And I'm convinced, I don't care if Tyrod Taylor was back there. They would have gotten their ass handed to him anyway, Sage. There's a dearth of talent on this team, and Buffalo is a really good team, and they're just more talented, and they would have found a way. But please ask Sage why the O-line sucks a lot more than anticipated. What did you see with the offensive line?
Well, you know, I think we all know, you know, Tyrod, especially with that first game, and you saw it during the preseason, he was really playing great football. I was really impressed with him. You know, we've all sort of seen him over the years with the different teams he's been on. And, you know, I feel like sometimes you get into, you know, year 7, 8, 9, you really start to get comfortable with sort of who you are, and you really start to get comfortable with defenses. And your natural talent and really comes out. And I thought we were seeing that with Taylor early in the year and in the preseason, and obviously the first game of the year. And it would have been better. I think it would have been 40-0. I think it would have been a more competitive ball game. You know, he is that much of a difference maker. On top of that, as an offensive coordinator, I'm guessing you can do a little bit more with a super experienced guy like that. You're also not going to get, you know, probably the amount of interceptions that Davis Mills got. You know, he throws into a sort of a confusing coverage when a team has all these guys walk around and some blitz and then some back out into sort of zone coverage. Those can be harder for young guys, and a guy like Tyrod Taylor, you know, may see that. And on the end, of course, the game was over at that point, but trying to throw that post route, you know, deep when a team is up by a lot of points, Their safeties are going to play deep. So as you want to push the ball down the field because you want to score, but it's almost never going to be there. You have to take those checkdowns. Now, I know they're sort of boring. I know they're not sexy. You want to score some points, but they're going to allow you those checkdowns. They're not going to allow you to throw the ball deep. And I think, you know, Tyrod has done a great job of sort of taking what the defense gives you. And I got to imagine the Texans would have scored some points in this ball game. Even if it was a sort of a blowout, I think they would have scored, you know, 10 or 17 points.
Okay, can we go in a different direction with you? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So you have to tell us. Now, you've already said this public. This is already out there. So we want to talk, now that we're talking directly to you, we read it secondhand previously. Can you tell us about the video game and sitting on the floor of an office for Cal McNair? I really want to hear that.
This is So we've gone in full blowout mode where we're now just
missing. Oh, no, hey, listen, say, we're not going to make you keep talking about the Texans if you don't want to.
Listen, you wasted your time on watching that video. Okay?
Yeah, feel bad about that.
Yeah, we do. We don't want to waste your time. But
Justin Fields. We'll talk about Jalen and Justin Herbert. We'll get to that also.
Yeah.
But it's not like we don't want to talk about this. I mean, we do want to talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, believe me, I have to wrap it up to watch the Bears game, and I watched some of that already. And talk about an odd offense. I mean, we'll get to the Cal story in a second, but, you know, 2 weeks ago, they're playing at Cleveland, and Justin Fields has been shocking every single play. it's his first, you know, obviously career start against one of the best defenses in the NFL. And it's a complete disaster. And I've been saying on that, and I've been watching that. I've been going on that radio station now for 4 or 5 years, and basically during Matt Nagy's whole era. And, you know, to see them go from 1 week, this sort of spread offense, and then, as I say, you know, this is really hard on Mitch Trubisky. And now I'm saying this is really hard on Justin Fields. And, you know, it's easy on a quarterback when you're under center and you can hand the ball off and you're under center and you can play action when you're under center and you can do some bootleg stuff. I mean, for Texans fans, that is what I go back to as far as easier plays for a quarterback, because that's what I had success in my career and those types of offenses. And as I watch quarterbacks around the league, they have a lot more successes in those types of offenses, not in the shotgun stuff. It's really, really hard to do that. And sure enough, this week, Justin Fields has a whole bunch of success from being under center and being in more of a play action, you know, type offense. We joke around in Chicago. It's like Nagy's listening to us on the radio of like, why are you guys doing this? And the very next week, they switch to the type of offense that I've been asking to do, and sure enough, Justin Fields played pretty well. They have no identity in Chicago at all. Well, is what they're trying to figure out.
Did you see after the game, Nagy was asked about who's calling the plays, and then he said Bill Lazor is calling the plays, but ultimately it goes. He wouldn't even give Lazor the credit for calling a good game. He said ultimately it goes through me. It goes through me.
I mean, we're seeing true narcissism, like, right in front of our face, like, as we see it. You know what I mean? Not only that, it's like, after Justin Fields plays really well, the whole city of Chicago is like, oh, we got our quarterback. And he made some awesome throws in that game. Now he comes out yesterday and is like, we don't know who the starter is this week. If Andy Dalton's healthy, he's the starter. And everyone's like, what is going on over there? It's like, what is the obsession with Andy Dalton? What's the obsession with being in shotgun and running these plays that don't make a lot of sense, and like no one can figure it out? It almost feels like self-sabotage or something like that. But, you know, Bill Lazor, the same thing happened last year, almost exactly the first half of the year. It was a sort of shotgun offense. And then as Trubisky was really struggling, they moved to under center, run the ball with David Montgomery, with low bootleg, stuff you'd think like a Mitchell Trubisky, an athletic quarterback, would be good at. And all of a sudden the Bears offense was pretty dang good, and it was much, much better, not just as an offense, but as sort of as a team game. You know, there is something about, I know the Texans are in shotgun a lot, but in my opinion, there is something about a ball going sort of hand to hand to hand, as in the center's hand, right to the quarterback's hand, at the quarterback's hand, or right to the running back's hand. There's something about sort of controlling the football that helps teams win games. I truly do believe that. And I know like all these college teams almost never even go under center anymore. You know, these guys go to the NFL, they've never even been under center since like Pop Warner or something. But I do think there's something about, maybe not statistically, you know, yardage wise or whatever it might be, but actually winning games, the teams that go under center and the ball goes hand to hand to hand, they seem to win more games than the teams that are trying to do all the RPO stuff against these super fast and super smart NFL defenses.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we want to get to the Cal story.
The Cal story. That sounds good.
All right, on the other side, we're going to get to the Cal story with Sage Rosenfels right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, I want to talk right now. Hey, sometimes you got a problem. That's okay. It's all right. Not everybody. Listen, like 40% of men under the age of 40 actually experience ED. Well, go in armed, ready, confident, no worries. A lot of that, it's probably worry. It's, you know, it's how much you're worrying about it. Don't worry about it anymore, because there is a way for you to defeat ED. It's GetRoman.com/John. A U.S. licensed professional will work with you to find the best treatment. If medication's appropriate, ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. GetRoman.com/John. Complete an online visit. Take care of that ED without leaving home. Go to GetRoman.com/John now. Get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. It's GetRoman.com/John. It works. Go.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Sage Rosenfeld is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So the Texans suck, so we don't want to talk about that game. It's just 40 to nothing. There's nothing to talk about. There is something to talk about. Well, Jerome Solomon wrote an article here. It starts at the top, and the blame starts at the top, and it starts with Cal McNair. You told a story not long ago, and there might be a lot of people that did not hear it that are listening right now, Sage. You told the story about when you first got here, you had not met Cal, and you asked David Carr about him. And what did David tell you?
Well, yeah. So as I go into this, by the way, when I decided to take on this radio show, which I do enjoy doing, because you know the text my era of my life, you know, 2006 to 2008, when I played for the Texans, was, you know, great times for me personally, and you know, I got to play a lot. I got 10 starts there, and it's a special time for me. And I remember I called Owen Daniels, who lives down there in Houston still, the tight end, and we just, you know, to sort of discuss, you know, be doing the show or whatever. And he goes, "Oh, the good old days." And I'm like, "What do you mean the good old days?" He goes, "Hey, people look back on that era as like sort of the golden era of Texans football. And is it 20 years now?
It's not untrue.
Since you've been there, you know, I mean, at least, you know, 500, some playoff appearances, obviously, under Gary Kubiak. And, you know, sort of is sort of the golden era so far in the young Texans franchise. But yeah, when I first got there, 2006, and I mentioned this when I first came on the show the other, a few weeks ago, is, you know, I really didn't know anybody on this football team. You know, you show up on some football teams, they got a star quarterback, they got a Pro Bowl here, they got a defensive end, they got, you know, they've got superstars, right? And I came to the Texans, and it was basically, I knew of David Carr, who had been the number one pick in the draft 3 or so years earlier, and Andre Johnson as the wide receiver. And I think, you know, Dunta Robinson was a high draft pick. But, you know, other than that, it was really sort of a team that didn't have, you know, I didn't know a lot of the players, and I sure as heck didn't know, of course, like the ownership. And we were, I think it was like mid-off season in summertime or something, and I'm in my locker, and David's locker is next to me, and he comes down, and he had just been up in Cal McNair's office. And I was like, Dave, what's Cal McNair like? And he goes, "Oh, he's a nice guy. And you know, this, that, and the other." And he goes, "Well, you know, it's interesting. I go into his office, and I don't know if they were moving or what the situation was." He goes, "There's no furniture in his office currently. And he was sitting on the ground in his office, looking up at this giant, like 70-inch TV," which of course was a new thing back in 2006. "Looking at this giant TV playing a video game." Now, I was like, "Oh, that's sort of odd, an unusual situation." And of course, being that the Texans are in a really tough situation right now, it leads you to sort of think about, you know, that is even more interesting now that he's sort of in control of the franchise. And it definitely has plumbed.
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot to unpack
here. Yeah, first of all, you assumed that they were moving or something like that. Are you sure they didn't take the furniture away because he was going to hurt himself?
No,
They say if you make assumptions that, you know,
you and me.
Right.
So I'm not trying to make any assumptions. I just know that I was, you know, there was no couch or there was no chair in the office, and he was sitting on the floor playing a video game on a giant TV. So everyone has that visual in their mind.
Yeah.
Yes. He was crossed.
There's so much.
Yes,
okay. So was it like, what's game system was it? Do you know?
I that's all the details I know. I mean,
do you know about the game he was playing?
Nothing.
At the time, it was probably early Xbox. I don't even know the game. If you guys can get David on here, I mean, he might share it. I'm not sure. I am secondhand knowledge of this whole thing. David, really, he's the one who has all that information for you. My guess.
Can you line him up for the show next week?
My guess at that time, it was Xbox and Halo. That's my guess. Everybody was playing
Halo. I could see him playing first-person shooter game. I could see him playing that. So I don't think he'd be playing Madden. Somebody was asking, did he play at the Texans or the Patriots when he was on Madden? I don't think Madden guy. I think first-person shooter.
Because he would have definitely stopped the DeAndre Hopkins trade if he was on Madden.
Yeah.
There's no chance.
I will say this, by the way. Of all the teams I played for, I played for five teams, Washington, Miami, Houston, then Minnesota, and the Giants. All right? Five teams, and only when I was with the Texans, and every team I was on had some sort of not game room, but some sort of like hangout room for the players or whatever. I guess I think the Giants actually didn't, which is interesting because their facility was brand new and they had no like lounge for the players. But anyway, when I was with the Texans, we definitely had a fairly strong contingent on that team who would play a lot of video games during that era. A lot of Halo. But I don't know if it's Call of Duty was starting to come out or whatever, but there was no other play. I know that, you know, David Carr played a lot of video games. He was definitely into them. But, I mean, the lunch break time, we'd have an hour or so. It seemed like everyone was getting in a 30-minute fix of some sort of shooting game or whatever it was. It was the only team I was on in my career where everyone truly – and the Vikings had like sort of a video game room, and no one was ever in there except for our punter, Chris Cluey, who was like a – top 100 Guitar Hero player in the world or something like that.
Cluey
was different now, right?
Cluey's a different
Cluey
kind
was
of guy
a different
now. Now, maybe my memory is a little fuzzy. Did the Giants win a Super Bowl or two?
Yeah.
Did the Texans?
They did. No video game.
Did the video game playing team win Super Bowls? A little different. You know, David Carr, I had him on it. The other radio station I was at, and he said something very interesting, and I think it's extremely interesting, and it's really something that you should do something with and think about, not you, Sage, but in general. David said he didn't fully understand how to prepare as a pro quarterback until he's with the Giants. He said, not with the Texans, not with Carolina Panthers, but it wasn't until he's with the Giants and Eli and Tom Coughlin did he really get a feel for what he should have been doing as a quarterback the entire time. And it makes me hearken back to when he came into the Texans and they played him right away, even though Kent Graham was supposed to be the option. They ended up playing David right away. And there wasn't really that true veteran on the team to really guide him into what the preparation was like. And David was also a get home to the family guy, you know, which is great in theory, maybe not great when you're an NFL starting quarterback, just because of the amount, the toll it takes on you and what's necessary. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because David has already admitted, I wish I would have prepared differently. I just never knew.
Yeah, sure. I have some thoughts. I mean, you know, by the way, my rookie year in Washington, we signed Kent Graham early season. They fired Jeff George like week two or three.
Kent Graham was here.
That's who was supposed to be there.
Yeah. Yeah,
we signed Kent Graham. This is before the Texans. Actually, I remember Don Capers came to a Washington preseason practice. You know, Marty Schottenheimer was our head coach up in Pennsylvania. And, you know, they were obviously starting the franchise the following year, so he was sort of getting a feel or whatever that situation was. But when I saw Kent Graham, by the way, I thought we had signed some sort of offensive lineman.
I heard he was big.
The new right guard, you know. Kent Graham had a huge behind. It was really something else. But great guy, by the way. But, you know, at that point in his career, he was not a starting NFL quarterback. He was definitely past his days. And You know, I do think probably David, you know, they're probably also signed him to, you know, how do you have a young guy prepare and a young rookie prepare? But that offense back in the day, you know, when I signed there in 2006, we would occasionally go back and watch a little of the Texans offense from previous years. It was ugly. I mean, as everyone knows, right? And I will say for me, you know, with David, you know, in 2006, you know, it was only 1 year with him, but I would definitely say the following 2 years, you know, Kyle Shanahan at that time was the receivers coach in 2006. The next year, he was our quarterback's coach with Matt Schaub and myself. And I learned more, I think, that year, that to me, and I, before that, I had North Turner. I had Jason Garrett, you know, in previous stops out of that, Brian Schottenheimer. But when Kyle Shanahan became my quarterback's coach, I really felt like I totally understood football at a higher level than I had in my previous, you know, six seasons as an NFL quarterback up to that point. I mean, he really was a game changer. And I think in a second year with Gary Kubiak, too, but I really do think I really learned how to, you know, not just prepare, but really understood the game at a higher level than I had before. And I did, you know, and I was actually with David in New York for a little bit up there with Eli. And you do see something different with Eli than I'd ever done in my career because he was so hands-on. You know, a lot of coaches, you know, there's coaches and there's players, and the coaches would do whatever the players should do whatever the coaches say. And Eli, the way he and Kevin Gilbride, our offensive coordinator, really worked together. But they had been together for like 9 years by the time I showed up there. So there was a deep understanding and appreciation for each other. We also audibled a lot. So there's a lot of hands-on work that the quarterback had to do. But, you know, on Thursday, Eli, during lunch, would take all the running backs. We'd all go into a room, and Eli would talk about protections. No coaches in there, just Eli and the running backs, and talk about, you know, this protection, we're going to do this versus this look. And he had a whole, I don't know, probably 25-play cut-up that we did for about 45 minutes, and it was just us. And then on Friday, it was just quarterbacks, receivers, and tight ends. And Eli would do coverages on Friday. You know, Friday's that sort of short day. And there was, again, no coaches in the meetings. It was just us. And Eli said, you know, versus this coverage, this looks like two to me. This looks like four. This looks like this. When we get this look, I'm going to audible to this. Eli ran the whole thing. And I remember we'd actually leave that meeting, go into our quarterback's room, and Mike Sullivan, our quarterback's coach, would say, how'd the meeting go? I mean, it was truly Eli's meeting. And I think maybe that's what David's sort of talking about a little bit, where you really learn how to control the entire offense because it's in your hands when you played for the New York Giants at that time. And I think that, you know, a franchise like the Giants, by the way, and they're struggling too. I mean, they're one of the oldest franchises in the league, been around forever. They've seen all the ups and downs, won the Super Bowls. But they're in a huge drought themselves, and so they don't have all the answers. But I think when you're a franchise who's been around for a while, and you feel like you have a guy, or you got the guy that's going to be the guy, or is the guy, and the Giants had that in Eli, you give him more control than if you have some rookie or a guy who's more of a backup or sort of a journeyman type player. When you know you have the guy, you allow him to have a little bit more control, and you sort of give him the keys, not just the offense, but sort of the organization in a sense. And the Giants definitely did that with Eli. And my guess is that's probably what David is a little bit talking about as well, is you saw a totally different sort of level of, not necessarily level of preparation, but of ownership by the quarterback that he, you know, that Eli had, that I'm sure David did not see anywhere else that he had been before that.
No. That's Sage Rosenfels with us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage, as always, we appreciate it. Hopefully, we'll actually have some football to talk next week.
All right, fellas. Sounds good.
Yeah, make sure you watch Mac Jones next week, too. We may have to skip over to the Patriots.
You know, I saw Mac Jones a couple weeks ago, very impressed by the kid. He doesn't have a strong arm. He's not Josh Allen, that's for sure. But you love how he diagnoses coverages and he gets the ball out, and his accuracy is phenomenal. He's going to be a good quarterback. I'm not sure how good, he's going to be in this league for a long time.
He held his own in a game against Tom Brady that had all the eyes of America on it. I mean, that's pretty good stuff.
Absolutely.
As a rookie, and all these rookies so far, I mean, to me, he looks like the most – I mean, we all expected that, right? He was the most probably ready to play at this level compared to the other guys who are a little bit more raw.
Yeah. Sage Rosenfels. Hey, Sage, we appreciate it.
All right,
time to talk a little bit about HRP, HRP.net, 281-880-6525. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. If you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, well, then this is, you know, ours is just better. I'm just telling you, we are completely satisfied, have loved them for I don't know how many years they've been with us now, but they've been on our – we've been talking about them. We've been having them as our payroll, as our HR. We actually use them with their HR. You don't have to have an HR department in your company because you have any questions that you have, you've got them taking care of your HR. It doesn't matter how big your company is, how small. Well, you can't have, you know, less than 15, 20 employees. You got to be at least that big. But then, you know what? The sky's the limit. And here's the deal. You're going to say, well, this payroll company is a little bit cheaper. But then you're going to have to take on their benefits packages, their insurance packages, and that's where they get you because they charge you more for that stuff. It's all hidden. Listen, don't go for that. Don't fall for that. Let HRP take care of your payroll and your HR, and then and the rest of that stuff. They'll give you all kinds of different options for your benefits packages. That's the way to go about this. I'm telling you. All you got to do is go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So apparently, Lance, there is a woman in Kansas. Apparently, she's suing Geico. Okay. She wants the insurance to pay for her medical bills, which...
Yeah, you know, that sounds fair for her collision.
Well, yes, in a sense. Yeah. Apparently, she got an STD in the car.
That's personal injury?
Well...
Does that fall under the personal injury?
She says she had the sex in the car.
Yeah.
And she got a sexually transmitted disease. Mm-hmm. And so since it was in the car, she's asking for $1 million from Geico.
Have we gotten a ruling on it yet? Is it still still waiting on that one? I want to see how that one goes. I think that could be transformational. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Can you imagine the Pandora's box that would open up?
Yeah. She wants $1 million for genital warts.
Boy. We all do. Anybody who gets genital warts, I would imagine this. Listen, would you take genital warts for $1 million?
No. No.
I don't.
No.
That's not enough.
No, it's not.
Is there a number? $5 million?
No, there's really not. There's really not.
Genital warts, $5 million.
I think Geico, pay up. There was a collision in the car.
And, clearly there was a collision.
It clearly ended in...
Is that covered? Badly. Is that covered in their language?
I don't know that it is.
Dad joke.
Ooh.
Apparently, a man who got caught with meth, a Missouri man, told police that the items were intended for medicinal use. He has medicinal meth. Do you have any medicinal meth?
I don't. My foot hurts still. My ankle does.
Do you think you should take some meth for it?
I mean, I don't feel like that's for medicinal purposes.
Yeah.
I know weed is. I have not heard meth before. That's the first time I've heard
that. That's the first for me. Have you ever had a kilo of gold up your bum?
No, I know for a fact I haven't.
That's never happened.
No.
You're sure of it?
No. Not even when I was drunk. Nothing.
Nothing.
And never.
Apparently, a man in India was arrested trying to smuggle almost a kilo of gold up his bum. Police saw that he was walking funny. So.
Makes sense.
Don't you think? Yeah, I would think before I smuggled a kilo of gold up my bum.
I'd immediately put a knee brace on.
Yeah, no, what I'd get is your scooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knee scooter.
Knee scooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
That
could pull that off.
How come your kids aren't getting $27,000 in donations? Apparently, a first grader, his picture with his face mask went viral, and now he's already gotten over $20,000 for college, for a fund.
Why?
Strangers have raised over $20,000 for him.
Why?
Because they like his picture. Your kids aren't doing anything like that. Are you disgusted with your kids right now?
Why is this kid gets $27,000 for college?
The internet has raised over $27,000 for a 6-year-old.
Do any of my children look like that child?
No.
No. What happens?
Next
story. Can't tell what he looks like because he's got a face mask on.
What if he turns out to be a
dumb? And is that why people are raising money for him?
He might be a dumb. I don't know, but he looks like he's pretty smart.
Does he still get the money?
He's not as dumb as a French soccer team.
Apparently,
a French soccer team is out of the French Cup. Tarbes apparently put in the town into their GPS system, and they went to the wrong town.
Apple Maps sucks.
Yeah.
I've been telling you that.
And it cost them the match, and they're out of the French Cup.
The stupid Apple Maps took us to the wrong city.
Yeah.
Remember that when I tried to get to Battleground? That was wherever I busted my foot up.
That's all right. Charlie Polillo is next right here on ESPN. 97.5 and 92.5.
Which is arguing about how much they would take for warts.
For genital warts?
Yeah.
I'm not. They're that's why I'm not on Twitch ever. Yeah. So.
I'm going to go warts or soccer. Just piggybacking on the last two topics. Bigger disappointment, the Texans or the Dynamo?
Or genital warts?
Well, that's the goal.
Texans aren't a disappointment. This is exactly what we
thought they were.
What's disappointing?
As everyone's aware, the Dynamo's played 29 games this season. It has won 5.
They're really 5-24?
Well, draws.
They had a 0. You said you saw a 0-0 on the scoreboard.
They advertise it on the giant scoreboard outside the stadium, which they rename every 6 months.
Yeah.
BBVA Compass, BBVA, PNC. Yeah, delete this 60 seconds from your Peabody submission.
Yeah, that's it.
Dynamo soccer and genital warts.
And Texans. The Texans would have been better off if the GPS didn't work and they didn't find what was Rich Stadium and is something else now.
Yeah.
Highmark, whatever that is.
Well, did you hear
Sage Rosenfeld? If you had to spend only three hours with the Texans or genital warts.
Oh. Genital warts.
You'd rather spend 3 hours with genital warts?
If I knew that
three hours
it was
and
gone,
only 3 hours.
Okay, but the 3 hours of the Bills game. Rewatch the Bills game from start to finish?
I think it's arguable, but I still take the Texans over genital
warts.
Yeah,
you're right. What am I talking about? That's not even something you should be thinking about.
No,
but
no.
Here I am, though, thinking, I don't know, man. That game sucked, except if you're on the other side, it didn't suck.
Yeah, no. If you had the Bills, you were fine with it. I was fine with it.
What if you had the points and the Texans? Is that the most painful 3 hours of your life?
Oh yeah, that was the worst. You're too dumb.
You have to reevaluate.
If you took the Texans, you're too dumb.
How am I this stupid to play the Texans? That's what you'd have to be saying. Huh. It would be a painful 3 hours.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you talk about what?
I can talk about SiteJab. Yeah. SiteJab.com. I got to call into Hector Garcia because I'm going to have him do my parents' website, Lone Star Coaching Clinic. The website was done by It was done by my ex-brother-in-law, as my dad calls him, Princess Margarine. He calls himself King Butter. He had his actual name changed. So we're not that sad. We're not that sad he's gone. But I can tell you this. The site looks like it was done in about 2004, and it's time for SiteJab to do their magic. And my parents want to really update the site. And I said, listen, SiteJab will do it. They can integrate with videos, coaching videos from previous years. All the, you'll have the sign up will be available on the website itself. We'll redo the whole thing. It's going to look great and it's going to be highly functional. And that's what SiteJab does. They take your business and they elevate it for small and medium sized businesses because they really put your company in the best light and help you turn the eyes that are on your website into actual business leads. SiteJab.com right here in Houston, over 23 years in the business. SiteJab.com.
home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save